I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word. Happy Easter, everyone. What a beautiful resurrection day. It's a wonderful day. It's our sanctuary looks beautiful. And I am envisioning every one of you being here. And that is a great vision. So I hope that you're having a blessed day. And I want to make a few announcements here. As I said, today is Easter Sunday. I'd like for you to keep in mind, we do have our Easter offering. If you would like to give, you can bring that by the office or however you choose to make that offering. But it is a very special offering we do each year. And then I want to remind you that this evening at 5:30, we do have our Bible study via Zoom. So if you would like to be a part of that, please be sure and read chapter 16 of the Gospel of Mark. And we will be studying that chapter on this particular day. Also, the church office will be closed the 13th. It's always been closed on the Monday after Easter, so just know there will be no one in the office. It will reopen on Tuesday morning. And then CMF, we got the word CMF will be meeting this coming Saturday, the 18th at 9 a.m. So men, if you would like to be there, Jim Spears will be leading us in a meditation, and most likely there will be a program. And then last but certainly not least, we want to remind you that as you go through the week, be sure and say to your friends and family through whatever medium you choose that you love them and you're praying for them. And you might keep in mind, if you would please, and in your prayers, Bobby Talent, who is at St. Michael, and Carmelie Frost. If you would be in prayer for both of them, certainly I know that they and their families would appreciate it. With that, we're going to move to the call to worship. Let us sing to the Lord our God, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders, for God is highly exalted and God will reign forever and ever. And now let us enter into our invocation and the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, we gather to marvel at the mystery of Christ's resurrection. In boldness, you exalted the humble, empowering the weak. In strength, you snatched victory from the jaws of death. In love, you declared your crucified Son the Savior of the world. We celebrate this good news in an Easter festival of life. With you, we join in this gladsome day. And now, O Lord, hear the prayer your Son taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh!
Let us pray. On this Easter morning, we once again welcome you, Lord, into our lives. We welcome your resurrection, for it is life-changing, life-giving, and life-sustaining. We welcome the hope it brings to our world. We welcome the joy it brings to our darkness. We welcome the empty tomb, for we know it means you are among us. Lord, may your resurrection give life to those who feel lifeless, those who are just going through the motions, and those who have had the death of a loved one. Lord, may your resurrection give hope to those who are mired in despair, who feel hopeless, and who have given up all hope. Lord, may your resurrection give joy to those who feel no joy, lost their joy, or have had their joy snuffed out. Lord, may you be among us in this world as the risen one, our hope and our redeemer. Be with our congregation, be with our community, and Lord, remain in the world to bring peace and hope. Bless our church, our community, and the world you created, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. As we come around this table, as always, we come knowing that we're communing with our Lord and Savior. I would ask that as we commune this day, that you be thinking about what's going on in our world, that you be praying for those who have fallen victim to COVID-19, that you remember those in our church who are suffering and hurting and needing prayer, and that you be the one to turn your home into a sanctuary, that you may commune with the Lord every day and be thankful for the blessings that he has brought into our lives. With that said, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and understanding of his word. You know, throughout the Gospels, we read of many things Jesus did while he walked this earth. Can you name some of them? Of course, there's miracles. We know that he did miracles, probably at the top of your list, but we also know he did healings, which some people roll into miracles. But it was a healing, whether it be a leper or restoring a hand or someone who's been bound with paralysis from birth and suddenly they're walking. He did heal. And in addition to healings, he was a preacher. He preached, and we know he must have been a good one because he had a great following. But in addition to his preaching, what else did he do? He was a teacher. And there were times that we read where he just sat down and taught the people about God and about heaven, which was very important, of course, and everybody wanted to know what this preacher-teacher had to say. But I want you to think about this because this is the part that I really believe we need to focus in on this Easter Sunday. And it's the unseen. We know the things that he did that were seen. But what about the things that Jesus did that were unseen? Perhaps some things Jesus was about were not seen by the naked eye, but were experienced in a different way. Do you know of some of the invisible things that he did? Things you might think of that Jesus did that nobody actually ever saw? I want to tell you a story about two seminarians in New Orleans. This occurred way back when I was in seminary, which I know some of you may find it hard to believe they even had seminaries back then, but they did. And these two seminarians in New Orleans went to the store. And when they got into the grocery store, they noticed this couple with a baby. They had what we would consider rags for clothing, and the man had no shoes on. So these two seminarians decided that these people were scruffy looking, they needed help, and they felt the call of God to do something about it. They were part of and working toward the ministry of Jesus Christ. So they decided to empty their wallets and help this couple. So they took all the money out of their wallets, and one of the seminarians took the money and rolled it up, and there was over $200. Then he walked up behind the guy with no shoes with the wad of money and stuck it in his back. And with a gentle voice, he spoke to the frightened man and said, "My friend, you don't know who I am, but I want you to know there is another man and I here tonight who love the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done something for us we could not do for ourselves. Because of him, we just want to give to you something from the two of us." The man tearfully received the money, and the student thought he would never see him again. But such was not the case, because years later, that one-time student was now a professor at the seminary. And when his students came in, he heard a voice, and that voice was the man that he had given the money to that night. He recognized that voice. Well, the man told the professor that night when he gave him the money, he and his wife were desperate. So desperate they had driven from their home in Alabama to commit suicide by jumping off the Huey P. Long Bridge in New Orleans. And for any of you that have ever been to that bridge, you know that's quite a jump. They planned to take their baby with them, but they decided to feed her first so she would at least die with a full stomach. That's why they stopped at the store. But he was so encouraged by the kind words of the man who would not let him see his face that they changed their minds. That act of kindness and compassion had set the man on a path to become a minister. Listen to this. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." There are times in our lives when we're confronted with a situation that scares us. I don't know how many of you, but I would imagine most of you at one time or another have felt fear, if not more than once. You may remember as a child, your parents may have taken you to a park like Six Flags and said, "We're going to ride the roller coaster." And you get on and you're shaking because you've seen it and you know it's just scary. And your parents say, "Do not be afraid." Now I ask you, if that has happened, being told, "Do not be afraid," did that work for you? Did that work for someone to tell you not to be afraid? It usually doesn't. I can remember when I played ice hockey, one of the first memories I have when I joined a hockey team and the coach said, "I'm making you the goalie," and put the pads on me and stuck me in front of that small net. He said to me, "Do not be afraid. You've got padding. You got padding." Well, I don't know how much you know about ice hockey, but I was quite the ice hockey fan before I even got into ice hockey. And one thing I do know is that a hockey puck had been clocked at over 150 miles an hour. What I do know is when the thought of that puck coming at my face scared me. I was afraid. And the coach looking at me and saying, "Do not be afraid," made no difference. I was shaking. You know, it's not until you get that initial hit that you begin to feel a little more comfortable about it. So after I'd been shot at with a hockey puck and hit several times, if not 100 times, did I finally get comfortable with the thought of being hit with a puck. And I might also remind you, just as a note, back when I played, the mask was form-fitted to your face. It's not like the ones they have today where it's out. So if it hit your face, something bad was going to happen. And in fact, I actually had one hit and cracked the mask right off of my face. But that was years down the road. But what I'm telling you is this. The fact that someone tells me not to be afraid isn't going to change the fact that I'm afraid. Fear can be a horrible thing. It can shut your mind down, freeze your limbs where you can't move, you become petrified. It can cause malfunction of bodily functions. You may have noticed our text says, "For fear of him," the angel, "the guards shook and became like dead men." So let's pick up on this story in our text. This is a very important message for Easter Sunday. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, "He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Did you hear that? So they left quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. So in spite of being told, "Do not be afraid," they were. And we don't want to forget the part about great joy. So let me ask you this. Whenever in your lifetime you have been given good news, were you afraid? Someone comes to you and says, you just want a new car. You're going to say, oh, I'm so scared. Or just have great joy. It's an interesting thing that we hear that these women were told, do not be afraid. And they were afraid, but at the same time, they had great joy. So the angel announces, Jesus has been raised. Great joy, right? Then offers proof of the resurrection by inviting them into the tomb. While the guards stood there and shook and became like dead men. Fear. But the women also leave with fear. Well, is that great joy? Now, knowing the women are scared, knowing they have fear, what happens next? This is where you see the Jesus who does unseen things. This is where we're going with this because this is an important message for all of us. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. Jesus knew the women were scared. He didn't want them to have fear. You may remember the angel said to the women, go to Galilee, he'll meet you there, but Jesus didn't wait. Jesus, I'm not going to let these ladies run with fear. This is just good news. There should be no fear. So he personally met the women before they ever got to the disciples, before they ever got to Galilee, and calmed their fears. When Jesus walked this earth, he showed compassion. He was not about to let the women run with fear. So to ease their fear, to bring calm to their hearts and minds, he spoke to them way ahead of schedule. That's who our Lord is. That's the resurrected Lord we talk about today. A loving and compassionate Lord. What about you and me? Do we reflect this love and compassion of our Lord? Is that who we are? Do we reach out to people and let them know that we're concerned about them? That we calm their fears? Do we reflect the love and compassion of Jesus Christ? That's a great question for Easter. But I'm going to tell you another story, and this story is about a little lady named Mamie. Mamie was an elderly woman, and Amy was plagued with severe arthritis. But something Amy did on a regular basis is go to the post office. Always. People were surprised to see her going regularly to the post office and stand in line for however long it took to get stamps. So on a particular Easter Sunday, she got herself ready, and the next day, on Monday, she went to the post office. And she was all dressed up and happy. She had just had her Easter service, and the line was very long. So she stood there, and this man walked up to her and said, Mamie, do you realize there are stamp machines out here in the lobby? You can get your stamps. You don't have to wait. Do you know what Mamie's reply was? She said, that's true, but a machine won't ask me about my arthritis. Mamie went to the post office because she knew the people working there would always ask about her and how she was doing. Mamie went because she knew the compassion and the love that those postal workers had for her. A machine can't do that. No matter what size the church, I guarantee you there are Mamies in the church looking for words of love and compassion. I believe there are people who go to church every Sunday, not that they're not good Christians, but one of their main reasons is going just to have somebody ask them how they are. And I pray that there aren't churches, but I have a feeling there are, where people go and they never hear a compassionate word, which is not the case in our church. And I thank and praise God for that. If you are a friend of Jesus and you want to live out the gospel, whether it be what the two seminarians did in New Orleans, or whether it be Mamie going to a post office just to hear kind words, that is the ministry that we talk about. Who's hurting? Who's lonely and on the fringe? Who do you know that needs a kind word that you could call and reach out to? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, a day of resurrection. I believe that we are a church that does care. I know that we have a calling list so that we can be in touch with others. But can we think of those that we don't hear from, that maybe we've lost touch with? I want to challenge you. Today, the next week, the week after, to look for the Mamies who are joining us online, that you can see have joined to listen to this service, and see if it's someone who might need a call, someone that you want to touch base with, someone you might want to invite to our Bible study. When you find her or him, try to follow this scripture. Be compassionate, thoughtful, and comforting. Both you and the Mamie you find will be happier. Ask God to give you eyes to see the needy in our church, in our community, and indeed around the world. There are people who need words of kindness. So Jesus, knowing that the ladies are now running with fear, says, no, this is a day strictly of joy. I don't want them scared. I know that the angel told them that I'd meet them in Galilee, but I'm going now because I'm not going to allow someone who believes in me to live in fear. Jesus had such eyes and used them while walking on the earth and upon being resurrected. He doesn't want us running with fear, just running with great joy. Your words, your compassion could resurrect someone's spirit today. Your words, your compassion. Not just today, but every day. Please meet the challenge. Reach out, calm people's fears. Show compassion. And love your neighbor. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come together this day, we come as a people that oftentimes we do close our eyes to the things going on around us, and sometimes we just get so busy we don't see the needs of others. Please fill us with your spirit and give us those spiritual eyes that can detect those who need your love and your compassion, for we are your hands and your feet. Fill us, enable us, that we may do your work, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Let us receive the benediction. And now may the God of love, the God of compassion, and the God who is with us day in and day out be with you now and forevermore. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.